The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Our number, it's you. Welcome in, Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross. Hey, you know what we're going to do today?
What's that?
Have a blast.
Yeah. What?
We're going to have a blast.
We are going to have a blast.
I forgot what we were going to do, but now everyone's
we're going to take it all the way. We're going to go till 10.
You want to today for everybody?
Why not?
You know, because we got such faithful listeners. Let's go till 10.
As we get into the playoffs here, I just wanted to take a quick minute. This is the best video you'll hear all day. This is nothing to do with sports, but for those prospective and current parents out there, this is a sign that we are all screwed. Like, we're just screwed. This is looks like a high teens, early 20s college age kid talking about parents and events growing up.
Am I the only one whose narcissistic parent would show up to every single event I was ever involved in? This is one of those weird ones where I always felt like speaking about this behavior negatively could be perceived in the wrong way. Like my parent was just being supportive, and how lucky was I to have a parent who always showed up? Boo hoo, your parent was there for you. But did you also feel like sometimes it was a bit excessive, especially if it was a bit more of a repetitive thing where maybe I was doing the same thing on multiple days in a row? Like, you do not have to attend every one. And what makes this lean more towards the negative, in my opinion, in terms of behavior, is that if I ever didn't want them to show up to every single showing of something, that was considered to be disrespectful. It was very much that taking me out of school for lunch, sort of picking me up and dropping me off everywhere I went energy, where on the surface, it seems very convenient, very thoughtful even, but it's a pattern of controlling behavior, I think, for narcissistic parents that prevented me from practicing independence and developing relationships outside of my immediate family.
So note to parents out there. If you show up to all your kids' events, you're there cheering them on, driving them everywhere, dropping them off, you're not allowing them to create independent relationships, and it's a very controlling thing,
calling that narcissistic.
Narcissistic parenting, because you feel the need to drop them off and pick them up everywhere and support them. I would love to see the reactions from, I don't know, let's just start with people that either don't have their parents or have one parent or don't have parents that are privileged enough to be able to drop them places, involve them in events. You ever see that scene in what's the Full Metal Jacket where they take the soap in the bag? They just beat the hell out of what's his face. Like, I have a feeling that would be the we're screwed. And officially, I think, crossing the Rubicon into old head, I'm sitting here going, we're screwed. Chris, do you have a contrarian
or the next group?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know how this one person describes the entire generation to come.
He's right. You can't stereotype an entire generation.
I will say that my dad was banned from coming to my games.
Why?
Because he kind of made it about himself.
Narcissistic parent.
I will say this, better to probably not have parent show up than parent. And, you know this, I see this all the time with my son in basketball is the worst, where you get over aggressive parent, screaming at the ref, screaming at the umpires.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, well, I don't want to go too hard on
and
it.
And he was an umpire.
You're kidding me.
No.
Can the good parent, if there's such a thing, guideline be what we want in a good owner? Be there. Be supportive. get out of the way.
Jason, I think you said it perfectly. You're 100% right. Be there, write the checks, be supportive. Yeah.
I know you're there.
Right.
But also, like, I know you're not going to do it because you're it's not for you.
That's right. You're not living. I kind of want to put a line here because I don't want to sound like I'm killing Chris's dad here. Just in general parenting, like, it's not about you.
Yeah. Now, if your child, like, shreds a knee, like, yeah, absolutely go out there and be supportive and helpful. But, like, while they're playing, like, that's their game.
What just happened? I feel like something just happened. Did I?
I'll talk to you about
it. Okay. I feel like I just accidentally stepped in something.
Oh, with Chris?
Moving on. It's not about you. It's about your kids. And if you're wondering why there aren't enough refs and umpires and God knows what, that's a big reason why. I saw a video the other day of a referee at a basketball game straight up getting, I'm not joking, like suplexed. It's out there by a bunch of angry parents because he made a bad call. By the way, a lot of these umpires, we talked about this before, umpires, referees, all that, they're volunteering their time. Like the kid that coaches my son's basketball team right now in the summertime, I think he's 20. He's 20. He's making a little off-season money and doing the best he can with these kids. So if you're wondering if you're, and I mean, you never want to judge parents too much. But if you're a parent that is going to your kids' games and screaming at the refs and getting upset at bad calls, you're literally a bad parent. Like, it's you. Look in the mirror. Like, there's no there is judgment there. And you're ruining. By the way, it's also okay on occasion. Like, if my kid's team is beating the hell out of the other team and then the other team, like, hits a three, I'm clapping. I want the other kid. I don't want to smash the other kids either. You know, you're competitive.
Bandwagon.
Huh? I know, right? Anyways, MC said it's called a blanket party, the soap thing. I mean, yeah, he would
not know.
Thank you, MC. I would not. I would, but that sounds fun. Hey, let's go to a blanket party. All right.
I don't think you'd go to a party where we're going to kick the crap out of you.
All right, so you'd set it up. Let's have a blanket party. Yeah, there'll be blankets and pillows and pizza.
Yeah.
The Wolves have stolen home court advantage. Well, I guess not. Didn't steal it. They literally walked in and took it from Denver. They didn't commit a crime. They earned it. They go 1-0 up on Denver. Nikola Jokic was just thrown look after look after look. He was asked after the game. We'll get to the question, but basically, how do you stop this here?
What's the adjustment that you can make to, you know, Rudy Gobert's length, and you know, not only that, them just rotating three fresh bigs on you. You know, for most of the game.
To have a duplicate clone of myself. And then I can, you know, I can be fresh. When they sub another guy, I'm going to be fresh. I don't know.
Look, Jokic is, when you get him going, he's actually an incredibly thoughtful interview.
Yeah.
And it's a really good insight. Look, Rudy Gobert had 6 points, 3 blocks, and 13 rebounds. Okay. Karl Anthony Towns had 20 points and 4 rebounds. Okay. Naz Reid, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Okay. Like, none of those games jumped out. But what the key to their success in this series especially is their job is to lean on Nikola Jokic and just try to cut the head of the snake off. And it's not just, by the way, he had 32, 9, and 8. Like, it's not like he had a bad game. 3 steals, but he had 7 turnovers.
Right.
And he played 41 minutes.
What was Murray's final numbers?
Murray, 34 minutes, 17 points, 4 assists on 6 of 14 shooting. Yeah. They need more out of him.
Right.
It wasn't like a no-show, but they need a lot more out of him. 20 points out of Michael Porter Jr., and then 9 from Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with 6. And they got a handful of single digits off the bench. The problem here, Jason, if you're Denver, other than being down 1-0, is there's also, you've got to think, going to be a cumulative effect on Nikola Jokic as they lean and lean and lean on him. It's not going to get any easier. It's on, over to you, Michael Malone. You've got to adjust.
I think Denver has advantages in this series. 1, home court. Now that's gone. 2, experience. That's, okay, you're already down 1-0. Now maybe you can rally on your experience of being there before. Where I think Minnesota's advantage is in this, they have better depth than Denver.
Yes.
And so now if you can rotate 3 big guys like we just discussed on their best player.
Yes.
But not only just that, just the amount of length they have to go on Murray and Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. Like, they just have enough people to throw around at different. They got a lot of options.
They really do.
What Minnesota's strength is.
It's going to be interesting. If just for fun's sake, if Minnesota were to win the title or even, you know, get to the finals. You know, Tim Connelly signed last year as their new GM and is going to get the credit, but you really also have to look at the front office that was ahead of him that really helped build this team. And now you have Anthony Edwards, who is one of the, if not the toasts of the playoffs. And Jason, I don't know if this has made it your way or not. There have been a number of analysts and ex-players even that have said, I haven't seen a guy look like this since Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Can I just say, slow down?
Yeah, I hope so. Can I mean, like, I'm really down? Enjoying Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
It's okay to love what he's doing.
Yes.
Everything that he is, and he seems to be tracking all these great things. Just let him be that. We always do this.
We
and
do.
I say we, the collective
You're
media.
Right.
And it's like right now he feels like he's the hottest thing going. And I have no issue with that. But It was like at one point we were doing this about Zion. And I'm not saying he's going to go down that path. Like Zion still could be great,
Absolutely
too.
Absolutely could be.
It's just we always are trying to put someone else next. Just let them all develop. Like just wait till Victor Wembanyama. He's going to be great.
Yes.
Just let it happen.
You're talking about the greatest playoff performer in history. You're talking about arguably the greatest player in history.
And you're trying to do it now when he finally won a series.
A series. And he's doing wonderful.
Yes, he is.
He averaged 31 points in the last series and starts out with 43.
Right. And the problem is then it feels like you're trying to dump on him, which is not what I'm trying to do.
No, God,
it's
no.
It's like Jordan's the GOAT.
Right.
So we don't need to go there.
No. You can go there in about five, 6 years when he's got 3-4 rings.
Think about it now. Like, LeBron has done stuff to be in the conversation, and people don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And yet you've got a guy that's won a series
right.
that we're trying to do it already.
Honest, like, and honest to God, they're not obviously comparing legacies yet, but they're comparing play style.
Yeah.
First off, Anthony Edwards is a little bit shorter than Michael Jordan. Secondly, if you want to compare him to somebody, I think it's a completely wrong comparison. You want to compare Anthony Edwards. It's not exact, but the guy I would compare him more to when it comes to ball handling, his ability to stop on the dime and hit a jumper, his ability to get to the rack. You can look over at Dallas and see their guard and go, oh, okay, oh, Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Is with all the Kyrie Irving hullabaloo outside of basketball, people forget that any conversation about pure skilled scoring ability and IQ when it comes to basketball, Kyrie Irving should be in any all-time conversation. There are times when Kyrie Irving's playing and he's on a heater and you're like, I don't remember seeing this. Yeah. This is insane. Anthony Edwards, to me, that's the Anthony Edwards Kyrie Irving is more of a comp, mm-hmm. like a young Kyrie.
Right.
Get out of here with MJ. Not because you're insulting MJ necessarily, although it is a little bit of an insult, but you put that on this kid's right. shoulders.
Right.
Also, you don't want to compare him to MJ in one thing. You can talk charisma.
Yeah.
Because this kid's got charisma falling out of his pockets. We'll take a break when we come back. We still need to get to Pacers-Knicks opening tonight. Also, another coach fired over the weekend. Take ham on five, hold the mayo, as the guy said in the airplane. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, three for madness, Jimmy Buckets, Minnesota, and the second round series on the way. We'll talk about it in just one.
Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
I'll say this about, because I know it's 7:16, we got to get to three for madness, and everybody's kind of been waiting. I mean, I quit blowing my tweets up, my texts up. I'll get to it right now. Everybody wants to know what I think about the Kendrick Lamar and Drake situation going on right now and who I have winning. I know everybody's been waiting for my take on it. I will tell you this. I don't know 95% of what they're talking about. I don't. I'm the wrong guy to ask. And by the way, I'm joking. Nobody cares what I think. But I will say this. I've listened to every song that's come out in this thing to try to just, because it's in pop culture. I just want to at least kind of know. Plus, you're talking about two insanely talented hip-hop artists that are putting out a ton of content, it's kind of cool. From my uneducated, ignorant point of view, and I'm saying this because I know there's people in the audience that are really following this thing, so just honestly, educate me. Tell me if I'm off. It really, truly does seem to me like Kendrick Lamar, this is like, what would be the example here? I hate using this example. I do because I love him. Everybody knows that, like a brother. But this is almost like when Jose Aldo fought Uriah Faber. Like, you may love both, but, like, I feel like Kendrick Lamar is, like, literally, we're watching somebody's career get absolutely destroyed, and Drake's arguably the biggest hip-hop artist in the world. I don't know how he comes back from this. And on top of that, Kendrick's last song he put out called Ain't Like Us. That's actually I've probably listened to that song like 70 times since it came out on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I can't stop listening to it. It is an actual, they're playing at the clubs. Like, it's actually, usually most beef tracks, if you will, which is a great name for a band. They're not really like that great of songs. It's just the lyric. This one is killing it. And he got DJ Mustard on the beat too, Jason, which is huge.
Did he?
Yeah, he did, as a matter of fact. That's the extent. So I'm actually curious. 916-339-1140 or in the YouTube chat. Who's winning? Am I off? Did I nail it? That is old men talking about hip-hop beefs. Brought to you by absolutely nobody who would never sponsor that in the world because nobody cares. Good?
Yeah.
We covered it now.
There you go.
Three for Madden.
Sponsored by Fence Pizza Cooker.
Over the Fence Pizza Cooker. Oh, I forgot to get with you during the... Dang it. I wanted to get with you during the break. I have a really bad feeling I know what happened, but we'll see.
I think you do. I don't think I have to tell you.
I don't think I knew that, though.
You did.
I don't think I did.
Then you forgot.
Shoot. Three for Madden's question one.
It sounds like Jimmy Butler and Miami might be parting ways. Should the Kings take a look?
All right, this is going to come up. Jimmy Butler's in the news. Maybe he wants out. His time has ended. Jason, I think there's exactly two things that could happen if the Kings acquire Jimmy Butler. One, he's the exact right guy this team needs, a guy who can play defense, who plays the right position, who is a dog of all dogs of the doggity dog dogs, and will come in and all that stuff about toughness and heart and mental focus and all that. Jimmy Butler will take care of that because he's Jimmy effing Butler. Or what I think, it's like Jimmy Butler on the Timberwolves, and he comes in and just proceeds to break this entire team, to absolutely break them, to get in their head, to not give a you-know-what. He wants to go to a bigger market, and he comes in and just destroys the brains of this team. And I'm leaning towards a little more of that. Maybe he softened
really?
Up. Yes. Look, one of the biggest knocks on this team is that they kind of, you know, you can knock them down. Or if they're knocking you down, you know you can get up and counter in a game. They're not there's not enough dogs on the team. You know, how many times this year have we talked about, well, there's Trey Lyles. That's about it. Jimmy Butler preys on that. Like, that's his thing. If you're not going to go to war with him, then he's going to embarrass you. And there's the old story about him in Minnesota during a practice showing up the coach. And instead of the starters versus the reserves, he took the reserves and proceeded to beat the starters like 5, 6, 7 straight games and was yelling and getting into, I mean, just absolutely annihilating them. And Karl Anthony Towns was on that team. And you've heard, I think it was Jeff Green spoke about that whole thing who on a podcast, who was also on that team. He said, Jimmy Butler eviscerated the entire team, the coach, the staff, the owner, all in 1, 2, 3 hour session, and then went home and tweeted about it. Like, I don't, you want to talk about a boomer bust. That is the most boomer bust move for the Kings.
Yeah, I feel like it would land more in the first part, but I could be wrong. The thing that would give me a difference in those two, it felt like when you heard reports what Jimmy didn't like about the Minnesota time was that was with Russell, mm-hmm. with, I believe D'Angelo Russell was there. Yeah, and Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins. And he didn't like their motor at all.
Right.
Like, when you're talking about Fox and Sabonis, I don't think we're ever looking at people that don't play hard. Like, Sabonis is perpetually playing hard. Now, the dog part is some question. I think that's fair to bring up. But I think he might be the exact one, and I think he would be the one that would come in and be like, all right, look, you guys have had some success. But I know exactly what it takes to get to a finals. So this is what we're going to do. Like, I feel like he would be the voice of the team that they need from one of your best players. Now, what's the deal? How do you get it done? I don't know. The only other thing that would give me a little bit of pause, it felt like he wanted to go to Miami. He loves that culture. He wanted to work hard. That's the kind of guy he wanted to be. And if he truly wants out, it makes me wonder why.
Yeah, you want out of the Miami. You're coming from Miami Heat culture to Sacramento culture.
If it's true that he really wants out.
Not for nothing. Also 35 years old in September.
Yeah.
That's a big thing because you're probably paying him more than anyone. I don't know how you figure it out cap wise, but you do. And they're not giving him away for free.
Right.
He's going to be 35 in September. All right, number two.
Question two.
Minnesota beats Denver in Colorado. Is it a sign of things to come or a blip for the champs?
I'm gonna take a side here. I'm gonna trust in the champions. I don't know if it's a blip or a bloop, but I still have Denver coming away in this series. Michael Malone and his staff have been very good at making adjustments. Denver just generally seems inevitable, and this is Minnesota's real first foray deeper into the playoffs. There is something about championship experience, and they won that first game, and Jamal Murray did not have a Jamal Murray game. I do think they adjust, and I don't have any, you know, when you're a team like Denver, home court advantage doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It matters more to Minnesota. Denver can very easily go into Minnesota and pluck a game or two. Do I think this is going to be Denver in five? No, but I actually do think it'll be Denver in six, and I hope I'm wrong. Nothing against Denver. I'd love to see Minnesota get through this series.
Well, the thing is, you know, I don't think it's shocking at all that Minnesota won a game in this series. It's just that it's the first one. So now all of a sudden you're going, wait, is Minnesota the better team? We don't know. We need to see a little bit more, and I wouldn't be surprised if Denver does respond and right. evens this up. But I kind of want to see more games, but yeah, I feel like Denver. I will go with the blip part for now with knowing that, hey, maybe Minnesota does have more to offer. But I really do trust in the experience and what we've seen before in Denver and having the better record all year.
Number three, please.
Question three.
What other second round series are you looking most forward to?
Okay. I mean, there's some good ones, but that's not the answer. I got to say Indiana and New York.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this series.
Bing bong.
Yeah. There's a lot of history there. There's a lot of history, and not that, you know, none of these players, some of these players only think were born or, I think a lot of them weren't even born when Reggie Miller did the choke move to Spike Lee and blah, blah, blah. But there's a few. Look, Oklahoma City, Dallas, you know, that could be a very fun series. But for me, Knicks Pacers.
Yeah, I think it's because of New York, that right, that big city, that atmosphere, that fan base. Yep. The intrigue a little bit about the Pacers, what they were able to do against Milwaukee. I'm with you. I like that series. I think that could be fun.
All right. We will take a break. Look, when we come back, in honor of the big Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef, what are the best sports beefs ever? And how fun would it be to have, I don't know, whatever the athletic equivalent of a diss track is, but and are there any current ones going on right now? But I got a list here of some of the best sports beefs ever. We'll get to that next.
Black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
If you don't recognize the song we're coming back to, that is the instrumental of Kendrick Lamar's latest in this beeving with Drake.
Beeving.
That's plural for beef.
Yeah.
Beeves. So I started thinking, like I said, I don't understand 90% of it, but I like art in all forms except painting. I don't get painting. But I can appreciate good art. And, I mean, Kendrick Lamar literally won a Pulitzer Prize. Like, he's incredibly talented, as is Drake. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, how do we apply this since this is in the zeitgeist right now?
Right.
And we're a couple of middle-aged doofuses, or I'll speak for myself at least. I am a middle-aged doofus.
Put me there.
So how do we apply this to sports? What are some of the best beefs ever? And I've listed a few. You know, we just talked about one, Reggie Miller versus Spike Lee and the Knicks. That was a great 90s NBC, NBA on NBC, John Tesh beef. I would put, look, when you break out into a full-scale brawl in a preseason game, you're definitely beefing. The 02 era Lakers-Kings is still, and obviously it affects us locally, but that was just a fantastic beef. I didn't want to double Kings it, but you could arguably put Warriors Kings in there from last year, Draymond and all that, but it was really kind of, you know, whatever. Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan. I mean, that was
jealousy, you know, written behind all that.
Yeah, and, you know, people in jail, and, I mean, that was serious crimes. Yeah. I put this in here as a general, you know, this is more 80s, 90s, but USA versus Russia.
Of course.
You know, specifically the hockey, but really you could, you know, USA versus Russia when it came to basketball, USA's first loss in the Olympics coming to Russia. If you ever go back and watch the end of that game where you think the ref.
72?
I think it was.
Just corrupt.
When you think the ref screwed the Kings in game six, that looked like that was called straight down the middle compared to the USA-Russia that game. There are a lot of beefs we could bring from the fight world, but Ali Frazier was probably, I mean, Ali had a couple. Ali Foreman was fun as well, but Ali Frazier, that went, I mean, there's movies and documentaries about it, and Ali getting, I mean, Rumble in the Jungle and just all over the place, and Ali really, really digging on, I mean, Joe Frazier had no chance against Ali in a war of words.
Right.
And Ali just brutalized him. And then, you know, they went back and forth in the ring.
Now, on the beef front, in some of these, like, there's literally fighting that's taking place. And other times there's just the war of the, like, or do you feel like they're both? What's the definition?
Not everyone has to be, like, actual fighting, right? I don't think. Like, Reggie and Spike Lee was...
Right, they weren't going to fight.
You know, and then, you know, the Kobe and Shaq. There was...
Yeah, teammates.
100%. Yeah. I mean, in fact, I think Shaq literally did drop a diss track on Kobe. Yes. How's my, you know what? Yep. Yeah. And then...
Does it change over time when, like, at the end, like, there was such incredible respect they had for one another?
So that's the thing about this stuff, is that I also... And again, I don't pretend to understand everything or anything about, like, the Drake Kendrick Lamar thing, but in the back of my head I'm thinking they're both getting more views on them right now than any musical artist in the world. And I'm only half joking. I think I tweeted yesterday that, like, you know, August 1st, 2024, Drake and Kendrick each dropped their 325th diss track and then announced the 2025 reunification tour coming soon. You know, I'm only half joking when I say that. Like, would not shock me whatsoever. And we've seen, for example, the one diss track I'm most familiar with is No Vaseline by Ice Cube. And Ice Cube ended up later on doing some stuff with a couple NWA guys, mainly Dr. Dre. So it's not like it's – this one's kind of different, man. Like, Kendrick Lamar's not like, hey, your beats suck and you did this and you did that.
Right.
He's like, you're a pedophile.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like, that. I don't know how you come back from any of that. So there's levels to this stuff. Bird versus Magic would be the other one, I think, that comes.
And again, at the end, like, great friends.
Great friends.
Mutual respect.
Yep.
And you just go, I guess you like when they get there, but you also kind of like the conflict, don't you?
I think the conflict, especially, I think the best sports beefs are when you have two guys or girls, whomever, teams at the top of their games And we know we're going to see him again.
Yeah. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. We were looking for, like,
fantastic.
At first it was like, they can't have this. Of course they can. And then you wanted to see it happen again. What will it look like the second time?
Guys, I'm sorry. You're right on the chat. I apologize. I'm doing it in real time. You're 100% right. Ali Frazier was the thrill in Manila. Rumble in the Jungle was Ali and Foreman. My apologies. You're 100,000,000,000% right. Thank you. Here's a great one. John McEnroe, Jimmy Connors.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's the perfect beef. But there's a difference between a beef and a rivalry. Although they kind of Venn diagram each other sometimes, I don't think you can have a beef without a rivalry. But I do think you can have a rivalry without a beef.
Yeah.
You know, you could have two rivals going at it that's like mutual respect. He's the best in the world. I just want to get there. It's an honor and a privilege.
We had that with Harbaugh and Carroll, right?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely, I think so.
Certainly the teams we did.
For sure.
But I felt like there was something there with Harbaugh and Carroll from college to right. The Niners, Seahawks.
And I think, you know, having faced each other in two Super Bowls in the last, 5 years, you could say there's a good rivalry between the Niners and Chiefs, and the Chiefs have prevented the Niners from winning not one but two Super Bowls. I don't think there's a beef.
No, because I'll say this. So that to that example, it felt like the beef was with the Eagles.
100,000% correct, Jason.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like the rivalry is the Chiefs.
Yes.
The beef, they whatever happened. The Niners didn't. Felt a little one-sided to me. Like, why are you talking about the Eagles so much?
Right.
To be honest, the Eagles, I don't think we're really talking about you.
Right. It was, the Eagles beat them last year, or year before last. Then the Niners spent all offseason, Debo especially, just, and honestly, as a Niner fan, I was like, guys, you got beat.
Now, we lost.
Purdy got hurt. I get,
we get
you,
it.
You still got just beat.
Move on.
Just shut up and beat them. Whatever. They talked their crap. But you know what? History to the victors.
Yeah,
they backed
what you
it up.
Did this year was all they needed to do. If they didn't talk, that would have been better, but that's all right.
No, they destroyed them.
I think that you can have beef without rivalry.
I guess in the true sense of the word.
One example I would give would be Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson.
When Tommy slapped him over, what was it, fantasy football?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That was just beef. Not really a rivalry. That was just beef. By the way,
all I did was put him on my injured reserve.
By the way, how's the beef what's for dinner people not getting involved in this? There's got to be a great sponsorship here for them. Yeah, I think rivalries that have a touch. How many years? Giants, Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox. Mm-hmm. They're always going to be rivals. But, man, when you get a bench clear during a season, let's just be honest. I don't think any of us advocate violence in sports, per se. But it makes it a lot more entertaining if the Giants and Dodgers are, the Giants suck. Let's go Red Sox, Yankees. They have a bench clearing brawl tomorrow. The ratings are up for every one of their games the rest of the year, and God forbid they appear in the playoffs against each other.
Right.
It's a thing. But, you know, I think rivalries are one thing, Jason, but I do think beef adds to it. There's just not – I almost wish there were more beefs. Celtics-Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hell of a beef back in the 80s. The Laimbeer, Mahorn, Isaiah Thomas and
Jordan.
Jordan. Oh, my God.
That's a beef.
That's a full-on rivalry and beef.
And has not gotten better.
Has it almost gotten, gotten worse? I'm waiting for Beeman has beef with messy eaters. Clean yourself up and eat like an adult, you clown.
Okay. Where'd that come from?
Well, that's kind of why I... That's kind of what I was waiting. There we go. I forgot about that. Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Beverly and reporters trying to do their jobs. Yeah.
Nothing came out of that yet, right? I know he apologized, but nothing from the league.
Yeah, nothing has come out from the league yet. Oh, this is terrible. The Raiders making the playoffs.
Wow.
We got a break here. I saw something yesterday. It just came across my timeline. It was a Raider fan, I don't know who it was, but just a Raider fan that was upset at somebody's draft grades and talking to other Raider fans is like, one of the things I love is proving them wrong. It's one of my favorite things. And like, I'm thinking, I'm not trying to be a D-bag here, but like, how long has it been since the Raiders proved anything wrong? And then I started looking. I was like, oh my God, I thought the Kings were bad since 02. But 02 is basically the last time the Raiders had like a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
They're worse than the Kings in the last 22 years. And so I started thinking, God, what if you are a Kings and Raiders fan? And there's a lot of them. There's also a lot of Kings, Raiders, A's fans. If you're a Kings, Raiders, A's fan, not only are your teams generally inept, you've now dealt with three relocations or relocation attempts over the last 10 years. Is there a worse triple combo platter to be than an A? And I'm saying this because I know there's a lot of people in our audience who are.
Right. Those are their exact teams.
Is there a worse, like the Raiders, I'm not trying to pile on. I swear to God, I'm a Kings fan. I have no room to talk here. Like the Raiders continually are horrible every year. And every year, you know, I used to look at it as like the Raiders have the dumbest fan base in sports. Like every year they're like, oh, now we've got two amazing tight ends, bro. Raiders! And then you're like, bro, you have Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Are you kidding me? What you might win seven. You know you're gonna win seven games next year at bet, right? Like you know this, but I don't think they do. I think it's just you call it whatever. I'm gonna call it loyalty and be nice.
Okay.
Imagine being a Raiders, Kings. Let me tell you something. If there's any Raiders, Kings, and A's fans that are single and they're on one of them dating apps, 100% they should broadcast that they're Raiders, A's, and Kings fans. Because if I'm a girl, for example, I'm looking for like a solid dude. There's no more loyal person in the world than a Raiders, Kings, and A's. You're not leaving.
Are they fragile?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They just need a win.
Yeah.
So the bar is so low, you come in.
You're the win.
You're the win. They're never leaving you. They're never, ever going to, no matter what, they will not leave you. They are the most loyal people in the world. They are like dogs. Like, they are dogs. They will never leave you. God bless Raider, King, A's fan. We'll take a break.
Obviously, my cousin Gabe isn't listening right now.
Is he a Raider, A's? Is he?
Yeah. He listens to the show quite a bit, too.
I mean,
hi, Gabe.
And by the way, like, I hope it's not coming off like I'm insulted. I'm not trying to insult them. Like I said, I'm a Kings fan. I have no room to talk. I just, that is the, like, I'm actually trying to really compliment them. Like, that's insane, dude.
Doesn't feel like it, Dave.
Well, you know what? You got to be, if you don't get it, you got to be a little thick in the head.
Where else?
Speaking of. Let me talk about my friends at UpsizeMatters.com. Yeah. Circumference, or girth as we call it. Nice, girth. Consistently ranked as the most important attribute. I mean, also good personality, but I think there's a surgery for that. My friends Dr. Jack Friedlander and Roseville Dr. Pash in San Francisco, they got you covered with a non-surgical procedure that is safe, effective, long-lasting, and semi-permanent. Semi. just thought of that. Doctor performed. These aren't some yahoos. They're actual medical doctors that know what they're doing. Now, here's how it works. You go to UpsizeMatters.com. Whether you're somebody who has an issue in that area or somebody who's got no issues, you just want to step your game up. Get a free consultation. How quick is the procedure? It can be done the same day as your consultation, and you walk out of there. You're good. If you're in Roseville, Dr. Jack. If you're in San Francisco, Dr. Pash. These are doctors. Again, they're there to help you at UpsizeMatters.com. UpsizeMatters.com. Get your girth on. When we come back, Trade Machine postseason edition. Yep, let's take a look at Jimmy Butler. Let's take a look at the Clippers roster. I think this Clippers conversation might be the most important one we have in the postseason when we're talking about distressed assets. We'll get to it next.
waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross. Just about halfway through a Monday for you. And as always, we sure do appreciate, although we question your sanity, but we do appreciate you tuning in each and every day, really honestly. Honest and true, we appreciate the heck out of you. So thank you so much. You can watch us on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search Sacktown Sports. And then make sure you better subscribe.
That's right.
You better.
Do your part.
Do your part. And then you can also... if you're listening to us, you can text us at 916-339-1140. You can call us at 1-800-912-1140. The LA Clippers are going, boy, boy, boy. Now, we're going to get into a postmortem here at 8 a.m. with them, and we'll also cover the Magic as well at 8:13. I just simply want to talk about the fact that it sounds like the Clippers. By the way, the coolest thing in the NBA right now is everybody signing their coaches to long-term extensions to keep them away from the Lakers. Hmm. So it sounds like the Clippers and Ty Lue are going to work it out. Announced early this morning, Jason Kidd has signed a multi-year extension with Dallas, so that takes away the thought. Remember when Jason Kidd was like a horrible coach and called that timeout on purpose and spilled the drink
thing?
That
was clever.
Yeah. Anyways, now he's the talk of the town. Shows what winning can do. Paul George does not sound like he will be returning to the Clippers. Paul George wants money. Paul George has a player option of $48.7 million next year, and he wants a max deal.
Yeah. Understandably.
$47 million, which means, just in case you're wondering, how would you match that? Let's say if they did a little, he opted in and they traded him, right? It would have to be, at the very minimum, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter. That's $32, $33 million. You'd have to add in Trey Lyles is $8 million. Okay, so that's $41
million. What was the first one?
Harrison Barnes, okay. $17 Barnes, Huerter, Trey Lyles, and that still only gets you to 40 of the 47. And then you'd have to add in either a Vezenkov or a Donovan Mitchell or Davion Mitchell, excuse me, whatever. The keys would almost certainly have to be Barnes, Huerter, Trey Lyles. But by the way, that wouldn't get it done.
Right.
So for the Kings to get involved, they would have to basically have worked out that they would sign Paul George to what would amount to, like, more than likely a max deal after next season. And they'd have to give up those players. And I'm thinking at least two first-round picks, probably three.
No, thanks.
That's what I'm saying. See, the problem is there are a lot of distressed assets.
Yeah. And for me, like, the max deal is absolutely worth it for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, they need to do it. The Kings, you know, getting involved in that, like, you want a player like Paul George, but not what it's going to take to get him, I think.
Well, and the fact that he just turned 34 last week,
Yeah. That's
the problem. Now, look, I'm not going to lie. If this is 29-year-old Paul George, I'm right. Like, yeah.
But he's not.
But 100%, do it. He did play 74 games last year, Jason. Mm-hmm. But let's go backwards here. 56, 31, 54, 48. That was the lockout year. And then you go back to 77, 79. He has not had a healthy group of years with the exception of last year. And on one hand, Paul George is the type of player, like, again, if you get Paul George on a, you know, 2-year, 40-something million dollars, he's a great fit. I like his fit.
Mm-hmm.
I like his defense. I like his outside shooting. I like his game. He's a wonderful fit for the Sacramento Kings, especially if you're moving, you're moving Keegan down, for example. Or you could even move PG back and move Keegan up, whatever it may be. I love the fit. I don't see it, dude.
Yeah, to me, this whole thing about the Clippers and about Paul George specifically is, if there is any inkling of the Clippers wanting to keep him, they'll keep him. because Ballmer has never shown a resistance to be in the tax, the second apron, you know, all that stuff they talk about. He's spending. They got the newest arena, all the bells and whistles, like the one-of-one type of stuff that's going to be in this building.
That's right.
Nothing's going to stop them from spending. So if he believes that Paul George is a part of the solution, I feel like Paul George will be a Clipper. Now, he could look at the Sixers, a few other teams that have some cap money, but to me, they've got a good thing
right
with the Clippers. It's just, do they have a great thing?
Well, it sounds like they're leaning against PG. From the 5-3-0 before we go to break. No brainer, do it. Those bench players are so easy to replace to have this big three with Paul George. Now, look, again, on the surface, I completely understand the text. Wait, hold on. You're telling me Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, and Trey Lyles and somebody else? Yeah, no. I don't even care about the players involved. That's not what it is. It's you're locked. First off, you've just cleared your cupboard with draft picks. You're giving up at least two, if not three, first-round picks. Well, Dave, we're in the playoffs. It won't matter. True, but you now don't have the trade asset. And on top of that, you're over the cap. You're locked. You now have three max guys on your team in Fox, Sabonis, and Paul George. And so the question you have to ask yourself is Fox, Sabonis, and a 34-year-old maxed out Paul George enough to win you a championship? That's the question every Kings fan should be asking. Not will they win you a championship? There's never an answer to that. Is that enough? Understanding you have Keegan Murray, and then you have mid-level and low-rent players. You don't have the money to go out and add pieces.
Right.
Is that enough to win you a title? My answer is no, it's not.
The Clippers have thought, and their answer so far has been no, that Kawhi, Paul George, and now James Harden, or Westbrook, whatever the combination, has been good enough. Now, it hasn't, but that's what they think.
You see what the Suns and the Clippers, that's a great way to wrap up the segment, have done with, let's just grab this guy. Now you have this assemblage of talent. Oh, wait, it's old, it's overpaid, it breaks down, and
hurts our future.
The only thing worse than not making the playoffs this year, Jason, I think, would be the realization that you are locked and you're out in the first round. And I would so much rather be the Kings right now than the Suns or the Clippers. It's ridiculous. And they both made the playoffs.
Right.
So we'll take a break. When we come back, let's get to the Clippers. Let's get to that postmortem with them as well. We'll do that after this.